take projection.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good. It's a nice sunny day here in Birmingham after a few cloudy, gray, cold-ass days. So that's good. We will start, I guess. We will start here reacting to the Super Bowl last week, of course. The Chiefs come back, get a win over the Eagles. Couple controversial calls in it, of course, the big one at the end. But do you think that really had anything to do with it? Do you think the Chiefs just figured out the Eagles' defense in the second half? Because that's my take on it. I think they just Andy Reid showed out and just figured out that defense.
Right. You know that game. I mean, it lived up to the expectations there. I mean, it's everything you would want from a Super Bowl. You know, it had the drama, it had the back and forth. You know, we ended with the two best teams. It was entertaining. The Chiefs had that comeback down 10 there. Mahomes put his team on his back as he normally does there. And like you said, of course, the call at the end there, and it definitely could definitely be called. I mean, no doubt about it, but I thought it would have been, just for the game, more exciting just to, have them kick their field goal at that point and to see what the Eagles would have done with the ball with more time. But that's just me.
No, for sure, yeah. It's one of those, the player admitted afterwards, the defensive back for the Eagles said, yeah, I held them. I was hoping they'd let it slide, but they didn't. And then, it kind of brings up that argument, if you – don't call it then, and you can't call it anytime. You can't call it in the second quarter, but not right then. But my thing is, I don't know if I call that in the second quarter because he didn't really. He held him, he showed it, but it didn't impede him.
Right.
Yeah, he didn't change his course. He didn't spin him around. He was already spinning on his own, and he beat him. But that ball was, he was never catching up to that ball. And
ball was passed.
Yeah, and I do think there does have to be something with referee and some mental, and kind of figuring out does this flag really need to be thrown right now? Does it, because it impacted the game hugely. It didn't give the Eagles any time to do anything. They get the hold right there. They've got a one. It's not a guarantee Bucker makes that kick. He probably does, but it gives them about a minute 50 to go down the field and either win or tie it up.
Now, where's kick a field goal? And the way the Eagles have been rolling on offense, it's probably going to happen, at least a field goal.
So. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think the big thing out of that was it was an Andy Reid masterclass, especially those two touchdowns where they faked the jet sweep. And, yeah, just
fake, wide open.
Wide open. Was it Sky Moore on one and Tony on the other? No, Smith-Schuster. No, I can't remember. It was one of the receivers on one of them, but – either way, they're beautiful play designs.
Beautiful, yeah. Can't ask for it. Just a mastery. Mm-hmm. And that's another, just the whole, with Andy Reid, just how much his story changed. In Philly, he was the guy that couldn't win, and now he's listed as all-time great. It's just funny. Sometimes you change your atmosphere and things, get a little, you're able to draft a player like Mahomes and things just, your whole legacy just changes overnight.
Mm-hmm. He joins a class, I think it was about 13, 15 coaches that have won multiple titles, NFL titles now. So an esteemed class. It's more than you think it is, but when you – I think it's NFL titles. It might just be Super Bowls now. I can't remember. But he's got two now, so that puts him up there with a couple guys. It puts him into the all-time greats category because he was – in all those title games in Philly and made the Super Bowl, just got bested by the, Bill Belichick and the Patriots back then. But hats off to him. Hats off. I saw stories that Eric Bieniemy was the one that pointed out that the Eagles defense was really afraid of the jet sweep, so they would overcommit to it. And if you watch those replays, they did. Those men went in motion and the whole defense started shifting, and it was just easy. Right. Stop, turn, wide open.
Wide open.
We'll say it was a good effort by the Eagles. Like you said, the offense did whatever they wanted to do. They did settle for a couple field goals. You got to question Nick Sirianni there. Maybe should have gone for it a couple times instead of taking field goals, especially against the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes.
Especially knowing how your defense, the second half, that defense got eaten up. They had no answers for anything Kansas City was doing in the second half at all.
No, yeah. And Jalen Hurts is a star. If they'd won, he's probably the MVP. There's an argument he could have been MVP even in the loss.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I mean, he put up, other than that fumble, man, he had an epic. And even after the fumble, I mean, immediately he answered, touchdown, boom.
Yeah.
Just like that, right? Yeah, he's taking his game to a whole different level. Just his approach to the game has, nothing really rattles him. And, he just, his passing game is just keeps getting better and better. I mean, he's, he's going to be a threat in the league for quite some time. Now, he says healthy, man, Jalen's going to be a problem for a lot of defenses.
Mm-hmm. Especially with that, they have such a great offense around him. He's got the weapons. He's got a great line. I saw one mock draft. They probably needed to go defense, but I saw one mock draft that had them taking I think Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson. Like, oh man, put that man in that offense. Ooh, either one of them backs in that offense.
Yeah. Wow,
because Miles Sanders isn't a free agent.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jalen's going to get paid next time his contract negotiations come up. Oh, yeah. Good for him. And of course, another reminder that Alabama fans are allowed to claim him. And Oklahoma fans are okay with that too. So
right, if you want to claim him.
Yeah.
He definitely graduated from UA.
Yeah.
Still wears Alabama gear. So
still says Roll Tide. It's okay.
Yeah.
He wants to claim both. We'll claim them. But yeah, he made himself a star for sure. Did not back down from the challenge. His defense, they couldn't handle Pat Mahomes, and that's nothing to be ashamed of really either.
Right. There was another time Jalen did everything he needed to do and the defense couldn't hold up for him. Mm-hmm. Second time that's happened in a championship game situation.
Yeah. Other than that, no real big off-field news. The Cardinals got their man. Eric Bieniemy is going to the Commanders to be their offensive coordinator. So that'll be interesting. A little more of a spotlight out, for him to –
Right.
One, that's definitely, it's a huge rehabilitation project. With the offense.
Yeah, the big thing with that is going to be them finding a franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
They had Heinicke, and of course they brought in, can't even think of his name right now. Just their whole quarterback situation. I mean, they haven't had, I would say, who you would consider a true number one probably since RG3 when he got hurt. Since then, the Commanders have just been kind of placing folks in there.
No, absolutely. Because
what do you would consider a franchise quarterback or even a long-term solution?
No, yeah, they drafted Kirk Cousins but traded him. I mean, smartly, that was the thing to do. At the time, but Carson Wentz is the name I think you're looking for.
Carson Wentz, yeah.
But yeah, it's not working out, and they can Heinicke will have a good game, and that Wake Forest guy was Howell. He'll might have one game, but yeah, they need a franchise guy, and
yeah,
Bieniemy gets to show what he's got outside of Andy Reid's shadow.
And that's kind of a weird one because it's hard to decipher sometimes. Was it more Bieniemy? Was it more Andy Reid? But the weird thing about it is with that, other coaches have gotten that opportunity without really knowing, and you would have thought someone might have given them a shot considering who's been given shots at the head coaching spot. But hopefully this will be the jump he'll need to maybe finally get it. If that's what he's looking for, a head coaching opportunity would be to, have the offense strictly in his and what he does, and out of Andy's shadow to fully show that, hey, this is my offense. So we'll see how it plays out there.
Absolutely. He's a guy that's his name has come up in a lot of coaching searches, and he's just never been hired. And make of that what you will. But yeah, like you said, this is now his opportunity. If he turns that offense around and he, you know, either A, he can take over for Ron Rivera, or he can, someone else will come and snatch him up. Other big coordinator news, the Ravens finally got their man, Todd Monken from Georgia. So we'll see how that impacts negotiations with Lamar Jackson. They did say all along he had a say in, you know, who they hired. Monken brings a kind of a good pro-style offense, that a good balance. He likes to run the ball, but he can throw it deep too, off the play action. I think that's really what the Ravens need to do more.
Right.
Past few years, that's what Lamar did a lot in college under Motorcycle Man Bobby Petrino. That's his name. Well, yeah, it's a, as a Ravens fan, I like the hire. I saw that and I was like, that's a good hire. I didn't necessarily think they needed to change too much and go to like some spread air raid offense, because they don't have the personnel for it. They're still built for kind of a power run game, but the one thing they need to do was capitalize off the play action game. And they never really did that under Greg Roman. Now they got a guy who does that a lot and has won back-to-back titles as offense coordinator. Jordan really turned that offense around. That was their struggles for the first few years under Kirby Smart. And he came in and changed it. And he made Stetson Bennett the fourth a back-to-back national championship QB. So what he could
maybe even get him drafted.
So what he could do with a guy like Lamar, assuming the Ravens do keep him, of course, there's always this talk that they might franchise him and then trade him. I don't think that's going to happen. You just can't trade a guy like Lamar Jackson, especially now that you got a new coordinator. You at least need a year under it to see
how it plays out.
Yeah, but and on the flip side of that, from a college perspective, that's big for Georgia. That's a big loss. They immediately named Mike Bobo. Yeah. New coordinator again, and he was there, and
he's been there.
He doesn't have the best track record as a coordinator.
No, I mean, he's I don't know. I guess you could kind of put him in the same light as our issues are with Bill. I mean, if you look at the numbers alone, the numbers look solid when he was the offensive coordinator, but you know, Georgia fans couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Exactly. And he had some talent around him too. You could, you know, there's an argument to say, well, they didn't have quite the roster yet, but I mean, he had
a
guy like Jake Fromm, who was a heralded quarterback, you know, with a big arm. They had talent. They've always had talent there.
They've always had talent at Georgia. Be interesting to see how it plays out, but I guess, you know, they went the safe route, someone who knows the program well, somebody that, you know, experienced with the program, and I guess he knows the system, so, I mean, might as well see. I mean, you would think not even he could break the system, I mean, as far as what they've done the last couple of years there, so it'd just be interesting how it plays out.
Yeah, sure, he's going into a great situation, so it's not like he's tasked with a huge monumental rebuild or anything like that. He's given the keys to a Ferrari, so to say.
Exactly.
So, let's see. The only other NFL nugget I had was Rex Ryan might be getting back into the game. Interviewing for Denver's offensive coordinator position.
Interviewed yesterday.
Yeah, and that is that's crazy. You know, as a Ravens guy, as a big Rex fan, you know, I wanted him to be promoted to head coach back when they fired Brian Billick. Of course, it worked out all right with John Harbaugh, but Rex did all right himself as a head coach, and you know, with the Jets,
got some nice years there. And it's been a while since he's been on the sideline there. We've you know, seen him on ESPN for a while. You know, good TV personality, I'd say, but. Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, he said he was only coming back for a perfect situation. I know Denver has had good defenses the last couple of years and kind of wasted it with the lack of offense. But, you know, that's changed a little bit. We'll see how that – see if he – how long – if that's a long-term thing or, you know, if he enjoys the grind of coaching still.
Yeah, sure. You wonder how that that patented defense of his translates to the modern game now with – you know, it's even more spread out. So we'll see. That should be it. We can do like a look ahead to off season, next season, you know, in the future here. There's nothing really happened yet.
Nothing major.
Yeah. We'll move on to the NBA. Just quick on the All-Star festivities that have gone on this weekend. Some fun stuff going on. My man Jose Alvarado's MVP of the Rising Stars game, or at least one of them, how they did that little tournament. Oh, yeah. He had fun, made an appearance in a dunk contest for
That was cool.
Trey Murphy, did a little Grand Theft Alvarado, then hit off the backboard for him. But of course, the story of the dunk contest, Mac McClung. Who?
Yeah, sir.
That's right. Just a dude that gave two perfect 50 dunks, jumping over dudes, tapping off the backboard, 360 windmills, double clutches. Just he earned it.
Roman.
It was fun. It was a fun watch. I saw you say. Go ahead.
He was a highly touted guy out of high school. Originally was supposed to go to Georgetown, and he transferred a couple times. Ended up at Texas Tech, and then turned pro. He's been known for dunking. He's been on. He has some quite a few YouTube videos and stuff, and the G League and stuff. I wasn't too surprised because I've watched him some, and I knew what he had in him. But he definitely put on the show. So I enjoyed the dunk contest. I know a lot of people still wish the Stars would get involved, but hey. I'd say you just take what you know you're going to get and just enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. I saw you mention something on Facebook today that some people are going to complain about the Stars not being in it, but they're going to watch anyway. And I think that's just the way the dunk contest is now.
Exactly.
The big guys, LeBron and all them, they don't want to get involved. John Morant joked on he would need something like a million likes on a post or whatever to join the contest, and they don't want to join it and then be bested by like a Mac McClung guy who outshines them. They don't want that ego hit, and they don't want to risk injury, of course, but I think it's all right if the dunk contest is some no-name guys that and fringe guys that try to make a name for themselves, because that means they're going to pull out all the stops. They're going to do the crazy stuff that is what the dunk contest is for. You want to see guys jumping over their friends stacked on top of each other and jumping over cars.
They're going to go out of their way. These are guys that are probably paying, 5-10 minutes of a game. McClung just out of the G League there. So, guys that are on the fringe of the NBA, sitting deep on the bench. But, they're guys, everybody can boom in the NBA these days. Duncan, not really major thing. So, and you got to look at it, too. When you look at the old dunk contest, everybody used to, of course, it was big because it was Mike and Dominique and big names like that. But, they used to get excited over, dunking from the free throw line. Everybody and their mother can dunk from the free throw line these days. Like, that's not a big dunk anymore,
Yeah.
But it's just changed. It's just different, And, these fringe guys are going to come in. They're going to put on a show because some of them, that's how they're going to get their name out there. They're going to get big off that, at least, if anything, they're going to get the Instagram following up, different things like that. So, I don't mind it. If they're going to put on a show, I don't care who's putting on the show. If we're entertained, that's all that really matters.
Exactly. It's a fun All-Star weekend. It's supposed to be fun. That's what it is. You have the 3-point contest. Dame Lillard won that, put on a show, the skills competition, the hometown team Utah won it. Our boy Colin Sexton in there. That's what it's about. And the celebrity games and all that, the Rising Star games. It's supposed to be this relaxing weekend, have some fun with it, and let these small guys that don't, like you said, get maybe 10 minutes a game, if that, G League guys, let them make a name for themselves.
Exactly.
And then if that one day a star wants to get in a contest, cool, even better.
Cool, let them in. If Zion ever wants to be in it, cool. That'll be make more people happy. But I think at this point it's just like the Stars don't see any gain, any motivation to do it. So hey, let the people that want to be there be in it. Don't force guys that don't want to be in there. And I think that's not going to be a good product.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't want stars in there that are taking it safe and, like you said, doing a jumping, you know, from the free throw line or just doing a windmill, something simple. Like let them, let everybody go out there. I would say, as far as like that stuff, I was surprised that Trey Murphy was in the dunk contest, and he can throw it down. Obviously, he had a good showing, but as you know, I'd like to see him in a 3-point contest. You like to see those guys that maybe can do both, try to win both of them. I'm sure we'll see that at some point.
Some point, I think I saw something like Dame Lillard did that back in when he was younger in the league. Mm-hmm. He had played in like the Rising Stars game, did the dunk contest, the 3-point contest, or maybe when he's a rookie or sophomore season. It's definitely possible, but yeah, that'd be, you know, cool to see. But you know, that 3-point competition, that's one that I don't think people realize how much that night really takes out of you. You know, those 6 balls and moving on, and you know, only have a certain amount of time to get those shots up. That takes a lot out of those guys. That's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's taxing. It's kind of like the home run contest, the home run derby in baseball. Yeah. Like by the end of it, man, you were tired.
Right, you're winded.
Yeah, and you know, Dame beat was it Buddy Hield and Tyrese Halliburton in the finals. And they he needed a lot to do it. And but it's fun. Yeah. That was always my favorite as a kid watching the
3-point.
Yeah, Reggie Miller murdering everybody every year, and then like Ray Allen. Yeah. You know, in the past,
when they get on Steph. Those little hot streaks and hit like 15, 16 in a row, you're like, oh man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real fun. But overall, fun weekend. We'll get back to, you know, the game is tonight, the actual All-Star game, that kind of weird new format where they
pick the teams.
Yeah, it's like Playground. They'll pick the teams right before the game. The only thing I don't like about it is that they're doing it where they pick the reserves first, so they kind of avoid like a who's the last guy pick thing, which is kind of weird. Yeah. Which I'm like, one, it's not a playground. These are grown men, you know, that no one's going to get their feelings hurt.
They're going to be all right.
Yeah. And two, I think it would make for some two reasons I'd like to see is one, you do know that even though, like we said, they're adults, they'll be fine. You know, the other guys are shit talking, and that would just be funny.
How are you?
It'd just be funny to see that and on Twitter throughout the week and stuff.
I mean, and they have to know that if they're on the reserve, even if they're selected differently, they could have very well been the last guy regardless.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other thing is that would also give a guy, you know, who's picked last as a reserve, he want to go out there and prove a point. So you might see some guy who's the last pick go out there and drop 30 in the All-Star game or something. Yeah. Like, come out there and play with some passion, but it's fine. It's fun. We'll see that. That's what, a few hours here later tonight.
It's always a track meet, a lot of dunks, and then everybody clamps up.
Yeah, and they got the new rules. I forget the guy's name that invented it, but you know, they played a certain score.
Yeah.
That's determined after 3 quarters, and it's been a fun result so far. And LeBron will see if he can go 6-0 as a team captain.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. We'll stay on the hardwood. We'll move to the college game. Talk about the hoops like we usually do. Number one again this year for the first time since we were in school. And kind of the same result. They lost immediately after that last time. And they lost immediately this time. Although, I don't know, it was tough. I believe, if I'm remembering right, back in 2002-03 when that was. It was over Christmas break, and they lost to Utah in Utah. And back then, that was like a really tough environment to play in.
Right. That was definitely a tough spot. And you know, I'm not even sure how we got to number one, because if you look back at that, we struggled a lot that year.
Yeah, that's a team that ended up the 9 seed in the tournament. So
up in the 9 seed, we lost to Indiana in the first game. Didn't even win the SEC tournament game. Like, I don't know. I think we must have peaked in we definitely peaked in December.
Yeah, I think we're number one off the strength of a good out of conference schedule. I remember beating. I think we beat like Oklahoma and New York City in one of those, like the coaches or cancer or something, you know, one of those right. in-season tournaments. Yeah.
Right.
I think we had a couple of maybe like one big early SEC conference win, but then that was like the typical Mark Godfrey stuff where we'd be unbeaten at home in SEC play and damn near winless on the road.
Yeah, we used to be horrendous on the road.
Mm-hmm. And struggled for sure.
Yeah.
But
this team, you can kind of tell what – from early on, you can kind of tell what type of day it was going to be in Knoxville. I mean, first of all, it wasn't helping that Tennessee was coming off two straight buzzer beater losses. I mean, so they were definitely up for us. Rivalry game in itself, number one coming in, and we just turned the ball over way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely you can't really blame it on the refs because, of course, the turnovers were the story. But at the same time, man, in the second half, we couldn't buy a call. Like, we were getting slapped on the court. You could hear the fouls and nothing, but that's a different story. But, yeah, it just wasn't one we were going to get. But, you know, able to bounce back yesterday and get the huge win against Georgia, which was over by like 10 minutes into the first quarter, first half. But.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like you said, it was a tough environment. Tennessee was playing, you know, they were playing for something because of those two straight buzzer beater losses. They weren't happy about it. So,
no.
But, they bounced back. Alabama bounced back yesterday, blew out Georgia again, or, you know, another big blowout. They're the first SEC team since Kentucky in the 50s to win three conference games by 40 points or more.
Quite impressive, because you got to think some of the teams that have been there. I mean, those Kentucky teams in the 90s, those Arkansas teams in the 90s, mm-hmm. like, that's, you know, the Florida back-to-back national title teams, and you were talking about something that hadn't been done since the 50s. So no matter how you look at it, it's pretty impressive. So think about it. There's been quite a few talented teams in the SEC during that time span.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like you mentioned, some of those Kentucky teams that would go unbeaten in SEC play, then win the tournament. You know, that Bama team from just a couple seasons ago that did that, won the regular season and tournament. Even they didn't blow teams out, and they had guys, you know, they had Herb Jones, player and defensive player of the year in the SEC.
Exactly.
You know, he was in attendance yesterday at the game.
Yeah.
It's
good to see.
Yeah. Shout out to our boy Pat Barfield, who got a picture with him actually because he was wearing his Herb Jones T-shirt and
nice.
Was sitting front row, and Herb noticed the shirt, so he said dapped him up, and we got a pic together. So that was cool.
That's sweet.
Yeah. Right. But yeah. Good bounce back. I'm guessing they'll drop down to number two.
Two or three.
Houston maybe could go back to number one. They are trying to hold off Memphis right now.
Up about 12 minutes, up 11. But they're at home, so I don't think Memphis, I mean, Houston's in too much problem today.
Yeah, Memphis got it within, four there, but Houston's now gone on a 9-2 run since then. So, yeah.
Kind of.
Penny Hardaway's
we're
going to
be two or three, I would assume. Kansas got the big comeback win yesterday at home against Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure we'll either be two or three with Kansas and Houston in their mix.
Yeah,
I assume two or three.
Yeah, Alabama was the number one overall seed in the official NCAA bracket preview.
Yeah.
So that's
it's a big thing. And
yeah,
I think we're having our best start in school history as well, just where we're at in the season.
I would think so, for sure. You know, Purdue went down again.
They've gone down quite a lot.
Yeah, another back-to-back losses. Maryland this time handed it to them. Well, Maryland, a team that I always could not stand back in the day.
Gary Williams team, boy.
Yeah, those Gary. We used to bitch about him. Most overrated coach. Most underachieving. You know, he might have been fairly rated, but for all the talent, he never did capitalize on that national title they got.
A lot of They had a lot of talent over the years in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And they let a lot of talent from that area go, you know, that not just the Baltimore. I mean, they're, I mean, I always argue this too. Being from Baltimore, a lot of people assume that I might be a Terps fan. I'm like, Maryland is a D.C. suburb. You know, their College Park is a D.C. Right. suburb, not a Baltimore suburb. Right. So I never really was a Maryland fan. And mm-hmm. all of that talent, guys like Kevin Durant, and I used to have a list of it, man, but that got away from them in that DMV area.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Think about it. They couldn't pull any of those guys.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they've now lost 3 of their last 5. They did get a win over Ohio State yesterday, Purdue. Or earlier today, maybe. That was.
Yeah, they lost. Afternoon game.
Yeah, they blew Ohio State out. But they'll get Indiana next at home rivalry game there. But yeah, they'll probably Houston. I imagine Houston holds on. They'll be number one. Like you said, maybe Kansas on the back of their couple of their big wins. I do know right now, in terms of odds from Vegas, Alabama is 8-1 to win a title, and only Houston is better at 7-1. I think Kansas might be 8-1 as well, but that's just something to note. I'm sure Mick Cronin would like UCLA to be in that conversation. He bitched about the bracket preview yesterday and something about conspiracies because they're leaving the Pac-12. I don't know. Just win games.
I'm not sure how that affects the committee, but
yeah, exactly. I don't think the committee cares what conference you're in. They just unless you're mid major, then you get shafted. You know, then you might have
an argument. Right. I don't think UCLA can really claim that as why they're not.
But that's two.
You look at it. I mean, the Pac-12 is kind of suspect. And I'm looking at the Big Ten. I look more into it because I honestly haven't watched a lot of Big Ten basketball. But compared to where they're at normally, like, there's quite a few teams that are not doing very good this year in the Big Ten. There's a lot of teams right around the 500 mark, kind of under it in conference play. And then it's not a stronger conference than what it has been.
No, for sure. Yeah, it used to be. Yeah, it's always one of those talked about. Yeah, every year, the Big Ten, they're always the best tournament team. And I think we talked about this a few episodes ago, but they haven't won a national title since the team Cleese and Michigan State. Yeah. And those old school, final score would be 50 to 40 something games.
Yeah, they used to have the
rough.
They used to slow everything down back then in the Big Ten, especially. Yeah, I think that was the year, in the semifinal, Michigan State versus Wisconsin. I think the final score was 41-29 in the national semifinal. It was brutal.
Yeah, and then they beat Florida in the title game, right, that year?
Yeah, I think. They beat Florida in the title game.
Yeah. Who beat – was it Ohio State? Was that year the Big Ten did have 3 teams in the Final Four?
No, that year –
can't remember. Let's look that up real quick.
They beat Carolina in the semifinal.
That was it, yeah. That was it, Michigan State, yep. You are right there. The 2000 Final Four, where was that? Is Indianapolis, yeah. But yeah, so that's it. Alabama, like I said, got that big win. They now move on.
We just got to keep winning because A&M keeps going into only one game up on them, and that's our last game of the season in College Station. So, and it's up. If things go, that might be a very important game for the regular season championship.
Absolutely, yeah. De facto SEC title game for the regular season. I do think with the loss to Tennessee, that takes some pressure off them now. They're not playing for the unbeaten SEC record now. They can ease up. You know, they go at South Carolina this week. That should be an easy win. Then they have home games against Arkansas and Auburn rematch. You know, Auburn will be heated up for that, but both of those should be wins.
Both at home, I would hope we can win. Yeah. Considering we won both, we won pretty convincingly at Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they're as good as the people thought they might be this year. Auburn, of course, is always a big game. But, at home, I think we'll be all right. We play our game and we'll – I'm not too worried about those games. It's just a matter of keeping focused and just doing.
I like I said, when we're playing our game, we're hard to beat.
Yeah. Yeah, if everybody, you know, if we're hitting threes, if we're
running, yeah, and not getting bogged down.
If we're hustling, playing tough defense, yeah, that's a,
we're a tough team.
Yeah,
a lot of athleticism. Not too many teams are going to beat us when we're on.
Yeah. I mean, we beat Auburn on the road last time with a really big free throw disparity too. And Auburn, they're in the middle of a struggle themselves. They've lost four of their last five, lost to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, lost to Vanderbilt on a buzzer beater, kind of a buzzer beater yesterday. Drove the lane there, hit the winner.
Yeah.
Looked it up.
So tough, yeah. So, we mentioned, so we got those games. We'll end with A&M. You mentioned they do keep winning. They're just one back of us in the SEC standings. Yeah. Somehow not ranked. I'm not really sure. Guessing that was a pretty weak non-conference schedule
they had a pretty weak non-conference and kind of struggled at times. I think people were kind of thinking the SEC is not that strong. But I guarantee you when it comes down to it, once the SEC teams get into the tournament, they're going to cause some problems for people. Because, I mean, you look at, like, that Tennessee defense. If you haven't seen that defense and that's your tournament game, watch out.
Tennessee's going to get put in some number one seed's bracket, their side of the bracket, as a 3 or 4 seed, and they're going to annoy the shit out of them. Yeah, that's a Final Four team. If their offense can stay hot during tournament, that's Tennessee's problem. If they go cold, then they
exactly
might have trouble keeping up. But
like yesterday, I mean, getting swept by Kentucky, I mean, that was kind of strange, but very Tennessee-like, beating Alabama and doing nothing with it. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, they're definitely a team that they're on. Yeah, they're nasty. The defense is always on. It's just a matter of can the offense match them. But if both sides are hitting, yeah, that's a team you don't want to play in March.
Yeah, and they will play at A&M this week. Tennessee and A&M go.
Interesting.
I don't know what Tuesday it looks like. Then A&M will have to go at State and at Ole Miss. And then, like we said, the big game on March 4th against Alabama. I should do it for college hoop stuff. Unless you got something else. I don't think so.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, only thing. So we talked last week, going to the college football, the gridiron. Talked last week about future SEC schedules. Mentioned, you know, Oklahoma, uh-huh, Texas coming in. Moving to more than likely the three permanent opponents with, right, you know, 9 conference games, 3 permanent opponents. And we saw the story that claims that, you know, A&M and Mississippi State will be permanent opponents, which is weird. So we talked about it. So I did some work this week, tried to make my own. I'm just really quick. I'll give them to you, see what you think. And I'll say I focused on 2 things. I focused on traditional rivalries, of course, you know, games have been played forever, games that you don't want to give up. And then 2, right, kind of geographical stuff. Because I was thinking about the other thing it says people focus on marquee games. Well, the idea of this schedule is that you play everyone else in the SEC at least 2 times every 4, you know, within a 4-year window every.
Right.
So you're going to get your marquee games anyway. Like, that's going to happen. You know, you don't have to worry about, like we talked about last week, Georgia has never visited Kyle Field. Somehow in the, 11 years now that A&M's been in the SEC. It's ridiculous. But, you know, it's just never happened. So that we're going to avoid that. So you're going to get your premium matchups. And, you know, because college football is cyclical, you know, you never know who's going to be at the top of their game or not. You know,
right,
you know, LSU's, you know, up again, but they were down and up. You know, they're a roller coaster team. And, you know, we've seen both Mississippi schools be, you know, going from being in the first ever, you know, college football rankings to losing seasons, you know, so.
Yeah, exactly.
So here it is. I'll give you mine real quick, see what you think. Sure. Alabama, we got Auburn, Mississippi State, Tennessee. Obviously, Auburn and Tennessee are there. You know, we don't need to explain that. Yeah. And as I talked about last week, State, the 2 closest campuses in the SEC, and Alabama has played State only 1 less time they played Tennessee in history, so. Arkansas, yeah, like, got Missouri, the local, you know, close school. Right. Ole Miss, kind of a, you know, also kind of close to them, in there, and they become a decent little. That's a decent little conference, you know, game. And then Texas, the old school rivalry, you know, 2 programs that do not like each other.
Yeah, I was saying as long as they got Texas on there, yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, that was the big one. That's the one I tried. At least, you know, every school's got to have one that you absolutely cannot do without, and that was for Arkansas. Right. I think that's it.
For sure.
Auburn, they kind of get the rough one, and that wasn't me being an Alabama fan. That's just their traditional rivalries. Alabama and Georgia, obviously, and then Florida is right. Their other one. That's one of their big rivalries from, you know, before the expansion of the SEC to 12 teams back in 92. And that's a school that they don't like each other, too. And then they've had some memorable games over the years.
They have.
But and I just thinking, you know, even trying to give them, you know, quote unquote, an easier game in there. It's just not, they just don't have those rivalries, you know?
No. Yeah. I think that's perfect.
Yes. Florida gets Auburn, Georgia, and South Carolina. Georgia, by that same, almost same, gets Auburn, Florida, and South Carolina. Right. And obviously, you know, you're not going to get rid of Georgia, Auburn. You're not going to get rid of the cocktail party. And right. Georgia and South Carolina are pretty close campus-wise, too.
Exactly.
And they've had some decent games over the years.
Yeah.
Kentucky got Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina. LSU got Mississippi State, Ole Miss. That's their traditional one. And then A&M, which has become
pretty big one.
That's become a heated one. And that's the one tough. It's like, all right, so should, you know, the Alabama, LSU continue? That was kind of, depending on who you talk to, that's a big one. You know, it's kind of faded in kind of recent years.
I don't, because you got to think about it. Before, I mean, history-wise, before, you know, the whole Saban thing, it wasn't really a big game, but it's not one necessarily called a big rivalry game before then. I mean, it's definitely grown since Saban's been in Tuscaloosa for sure. Mm-hmm. From his tenure at LSU before, but if anything, I'd say that's more of a one-sided thing. I think LSU had more contempt for Alabama than anything.
And yeah, and that was actually going to be my response. Before, you know, the divisional split made them, you know, division rivals, and then before the Saban thing made them, you know, heated rivals, at least, you know, come from the LSU side. You know, and it's one of those rivalries that's built upon, well, that just happened to be two programs that were in the same division that were also two of the best programs in the country. And that's what made it a rivalry. It wasn't necessarily, you know, for them, it was a Saban thing, but we didn't care about them hating Saban. You know, I always thought it was weird. Saban built that program and made them a national powerhouse. Like, why would you be mad? Like, I get you're mad that maybe he left for the NFL, but whatever. He come back to, you know, Alabama through a boatload of money.
Right. It's not like he went straight to Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. That I would have understood, you know, kind of that, like, Tuberville from Auburn to Ole Miss, or from Ole Miss to Auburn thing, or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But so, and plus, like we mentioned before, they're going to get, you're going to see them two times every 4-year window anyway. And if they're back, you know, if LSU gets back to national prominence, and that's, you know, a possible SEC title game, you know, some years. So I wasn't too concerned about keeping that one as a permanent. I thought that Ole Miss is their traditional big rival.
Right.
State, they've had some memorable games recently with, and they're close enough. And then that A&M game's become really heated.
Oh, for sure.
A close rivalry. And they're two teams that have always battled for kind of the same recruits historically, too.
Right. Yeah.
And then, like you mentioned, you know, the one sided thing, I was going to say, you know, that's, you know, if I talk to someone like my dad who's been around, that was always his, you know, he used to say Alabama's three rivals were Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU. But LSU was always more, that's just because they hate us so much. But if you remember, there was I think it was a 30-year period where Alabama never lost in Baton Rouge. It went 30 straight years where they won, you know, 15 straight or whatever it was in Baton Rouge. It was a very one-sided rivalry. And they hate us for sure. They've always hated us, but it's going to be one of those kinds of like, yeah, I don't want to lose to LSU, but I don't, they're not on a Tennessee or an Auburn level to me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So moving on, Mississippi State's up next. So Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss. Obviously, the Egg Bowl is a big one there. Missouri, got Arkansas, Oklahoma, the old Big Eight rivalry, and then Vanderbilt. Looking at the Vanderbilt one, that's one of those that, you know, Missouri is kind of those schools like Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina were kind of schools I had the hardest time figuring out. If you actually look at distances, they're kind of closer to Vanderbilt than a lot of those other schools.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of why they're there. And then obviously Arkansas, the, you know, border states, and then Oklahoma, the old school Big Eight rivalry.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Oklahoma, by that measure, gets Missouri, Texas, of course, and then Texas A&M. Obviously, you know, we don't need to explain Missouri or Texas. A&M was the old Big 12. They were never huge rivals, but it's still kind of a low geographic thing more than anything.
Yeah, and I'm sure, OU wouldn't mind going in the state of Texas for sure every other year, and, you know, big with the recruiting, because we know a lot of the OU talents is in Texas.
Exactly, yeah. So that's, you know, that's great for recruiting for them. And it gives A&M another chance to beat, you know, kind of a marquee program every year.
Oh, yeah.
Ole Miss, we got Arkansas, LSU, and Mississippi State. South Carolina gets Florida, Georgia, Kentucky. Tennessee gets Alabama, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. You know, those last two, the Tennessee or Kentucky's the border, you know, and then Vandy, the in-state rivalry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then Kentucky has a lot of disdain for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Texas gets Arkansas, Oklahoma, and A&M, of course. Three traditional hated rivalries, you know.
You love to see it.
Yeah, welcome to the SEC, man. You want to be here. That's tough. A&M, by that measure, gets LSU, Oklahoma, Texas, and then Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee. No, Vanderbilt's there. They're, you know, Kentucky is kind of a border thing. Tennessee, the in-state, and I already talked about Missouri. But, yeah, so that's just the work I did, I thought.
That sounds, I mean, that's about as good as what you can expect, you know. Sustains all the major rivalries, brings some rivalries back that have gone quiet, of course, at A&M and Texas. And, you know, Texas and Arkansas playing every year. So, yeah, I think that's about as good as what you can expect. I mean, everybody's playing their main rivals. And like you said, you know, if you want to see somebody else every two or three years, you're going to see those other teams. So I think it's perfect.
Yeah. And you're going to, if you're a bigger program, you're going to see them possibly in the conference title game. Yeah. So
for sure. Yeah. I think you can't ask for more than that. And, you know, the main thing, you know, going to that 9-3 and then getting rid of divisions, and then you're going to get the best possible matchup in the SEC championship game, because of course we've seen sometimes where, you know, the East opponent is not who you wanted to see the West champion play.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I do think this will make the SEC title game a lot better for sure. Most years.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it works out. Yeah, the two best teams are the guys who win the division, but a lot of times it's just default, you know, especially we had a lot of those years. Missouri won it three straight years. They won the East, and they get blown out every year. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we could have had you look at it when it could have been like Alabama, LSU, a couple of times, or yeah, you know, where it was us and Missouri. Missouri's what, 8-4 and kind of there just because the East is bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going further back, you know, you could have had a rematch of like a Florida-Tennessee game or a Florida-Georgia something like that.
For sure, because the West, cause for a while the West was the down division, and mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure, you could have Peyton, see if we could finally beat a Florida team in the mid-90s, and cause that was due to the only loss of the season, so that would have been, yeah, cool to see a rematch, just see if it would go the same, or, you know, if you had better luck in the Georgia Dome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, other than that, that pretty much does it for this week. Not, you know, we talked about all the big news, nothing really huge going on. You know, Daytona's today. Neither of us are big NASCAR fans, so, you know, we'll whatever with that. Let's see, you know, like right now, South Carolina women still trying to keep their unbeaten season going against Ole Miss. They're up 1 at halftime. Don't really see anything. Kevin Love's going to join the Heat, it looks like, after he was released by Cleveland. They'll retire his number in Cleveland. I thought that was interesting.
I think I'm just amazed how long he stayed in Cleveland.
For real, yeah.
I just never thought it was gonna be like what it was. Other sports news, I guess.
on the Alabama football front, you know, just bringing in Ken Whisenhunt as an analyst, I thought that was an interesting hire. A guy with a lot of football knowledge. And then I like HaHa Dixon being added as the player personnel coach. That's a really good hire, you know, man, that knows the Saban way well in the process, and hopefully can get these young guys on a day-to-day basis buy into what the expectations are. That was a nice hire.
Yeah, you love seeing those former players, especially guys that were, you know, big names like him coming back. I'm sure that you'll see a guy like Mark Ingram in a position like that in a couple years.
Right.
So other than that, yeah, around the sports world, you know, over in England, Manchester City had a big win over Arsenal midweek, and then Arsenal had a big comeback win yesterday to retake first place there. Neymar was carted off the field with an ankle injury today. That's something to pay attention to. That's big, as Champions League knockout round started this week. So if you're a soccer fan, that's something to pay attention to. Then we pretty much talked about everything else. So we'll move on. Greg, what has been done up real good for you this week?
Done up for me real good this week. Had a successful Valentine's. No, that's not something to worry about, because, you don't know if you should go just a traditional route or do something different time to time, but just seem to enjoy it. So, how about you?
I see. Mine will be a little bittersweet, I guess, but a happy Lundi Gras, happy Mardi Gras to everybody who celebrates. Sad for the wife and I not being down in New Orleans for it, as we usually, you know, used to be when we lived there, and then we would go down there. You know, we were down there last year for it. But, you know, with the 3-month-old, can't really travel. Not quite yet. I'm sure next year we will have them, you know, costumed up and ready to go with us. And because you see all types of parents, you know, professionals at it. They got their strollers and their carts for the kids so he can nap and snacks and have fun. You know, with all the bands and stuff playing, and then when he's time to go to sleep, he can get in his stroller and you just push him along. And so we'll be quietly celebrating from home this year, because
Mardi Gras, that's just an experience. Yeah.
It is too, and you know, we are part of the Red Beans crew down there, so we walked every Lundi Gras, which is the Monday, you know, tomorrow. So we walked in that parade every year. For the past whatever it was years we lived there. So yeah, it's a, you know, obviously COVID years notwithstanding. I guess 2021 was the only year really that didn't happen. But it's a, like I said, it's a little bit of sweet, you know, being here, not being in the place that, you know, is kind of home to us down there, but we'll have fun. Celebrating at home, you know, I'm sure we'll cook up some traditional food for it. So that's that this week. As always, folks, thank you for listening to Taking On Sports. As always, be sure to check out everything great we have going on in the Alabama Take family of podcasts. You know, Taking It Down, our pop culture podcast. They've been talking about The Last of Us a lot recently, if you've been watching that series. Alabama Slam Pod, they've got a bunch to talk about with the Elimination Chamber event from last night.
I enjoyed that.
It was a good event. You know, Sammy got screwed. Sammy got screwed, man.
I mean, you knew it wasn't going to happen, but man, hell of a performance.
Yeah, so that, you know, that'd be a fun, that's a fun story going forward, and I'm sure they'll have a lot good things to say about it. Of course, that was a new season of This Song Sucks started recently. Of course, you know, there's all Check Yourself and all kinds of good podcasts and stuff on the Alabama Take website. So, Greg, we'll see you next time, buddy. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. See you.